Then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his chosen from the four winds, from the uttermost part of earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And actually, what it says just before that is, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with its great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his chosen. And it says, the dead in Christ rise first, and then we which are alive and remain are changed. That's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm making reference to 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, Mark 13, you know, because it gives you a precise idea of the sequence of events. Christ will appear. They will see the sign of his coming, whether that be him appearing in the sky, whatever that is. It will be very obvious at the time. But the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. The scripture specifies at the last trump. That's the seventh trump. There are people who will argue that, well, it could be something else besides that. And I suppose, in the realm of all possibility, yeah, that could be. But there are no other trumps mentioned in the book of Revelation for the end times. You know, this is the end of all things. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is supposed to be telling us what's going on. And though it does not say, and Jesus Christ returns, what it says is, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. And it says, thou hast taken to thee thy great power, and hast reigned. See, it says, all things are put under his feet. Yet we do not see all things put under his feet. It still remains that these things must actually come to pass. God, we say God is in control, but we do not see him as in control. It says God is ruler, God is king, Christ is enthroned, but we do not see these things. We see other people on thrones. We see other people ruling the world. It is not apparent.
So this verse indicates a shift from promise to fulfillment. He reigns.
He has been promised to reign, just like we have been promised salvation. You know, we're promised salvation to people who go around saying they're saved. But it does not appear that they're saved. In fact, every saved person I've ever known who dies gets buried. They get buried. So, well, they're spirits. Well, you know, I have an article on my website concerning death and the resurrection. But the thing is, the promise they were given was of resurrection. All that are in their grave shall hear his voice. I mean, if you're a Christian, you believe in the resurrection of the dead. At least that's what the Bible teaches, the resurrection of the dead. The dead must rise. You know, your body is supposed to come out of the ground. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Isaiah 26. The dead bodies are coming out of the ground. When they do, that is this moment. And it does specifically say the time of the dead, that they should be judged. That thou shouldest give reward to thy servants, the prophets and the saints. Why is it now at this time? Now it's time to give rewards to thy servants, the prophets. But according to the way most of the apostate church out there teaches, they already go on to their rewards. When you die, you instantly receive your reward. You go up into heaven, and I mentioned about in chapter 10 about, you know, they say there's mansions up there waiting for you that Christ has been working on. This is all a corruption of John chapter 14, the idea of the mansions, because the mansion has to do with an abiding place. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode, which is the exact same word as mansion, with him. We have the earnest of our inheritance in the Spirit of God, which is given to us. We're baptized with that Holy Ghost of promise, right? And we have that, and from that flow all the rest of the gifts of the Spirit that lead us on towards Christ and towards being built up in him so that we might be like him, so that we would be able to attain the prize that we've been running for, to wit, the resurrection of the dead. And that is specifically mentioned here. This is the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward to thy servants, to the saints, to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Now, does God care? It was asked in one place, does God care for cattle? And I would also ask, does God care for trees? Does God even care for the earth? Well, it's his. know, it's like I have a garden, and every year we plant it, you know, and I tend it, and I make it according to what I want.
I should have said we, because really it's primarily my wife.
I don't like animals coming in and wrecking it, or if strangers came by and started stomping down my seedlings, I would be a bit irritated. Though if I were to decide of myself, I would think nothing of plowing the whole thing under. It would be nothing to me, because I could just plant it again. It's mine. I do what I will with what is mine. That's what Jesus asked in the parable. He said, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with what is mine? And God does whatever he wills with it, what is his. If he wants to destroy the earth and remake it, he's God. He made everything. It's nothing to him. He can make the earth and 1,000 earths like it, and may have already. So what's it to him? But that someone else would take what he had made good, and pollute it, and destroy it, and misuse it, and abuse it. As God said to Cain, the blood of your brother, Abel, cries unto me from the ground. And he spoke of Israel, that the nations that he cast out before them, which had inhabited Canaan, defiled the land. So that the land, in the eyes of God, cried out because of the abominations done on it. It's like someone comes into your home, into your living room, and relieves themselves in the middle of your family room. What is it? It's just a wooden floor. It can be cleaned up, but you might take it a little personal. And God also does not appreciate what men do. It's not so much that they destroy the earth like that's a bad thing in and of itself. It's his earth. And they're messing with his stuff. They're abusing, misusing. They're not thankful to the one who gave it to them. The wrath of God has come on them for all their sins and evil deeds. And the wrath of God has come on the world for all their sins and their evil deeds. So the seventh trumpet is the moment in which the kingdom of this world de facto transfer from the possession of humanity to the possession of God, of Christ. The kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, he shall reign forever and ever. The reign of God never ends after that point. Now there's 1,000 years of after the resurrection, there's 1,000 years of Christ's reign. And we'll get to that. But the nations were angry. You know, the nations were very angry.